Many organizations have come to understand the importance of telling an engaging story. The history of an organization helps establish its values and sets the stage for innovation and growth. My guest today on Modern Marketeers is Tom McCormally, Director of Archives at Children's Mercy Hospital and Clinics in Kansas City. Tom's been working for the past several years to bring the history of the hospital to life. Children's Mercy recently published For All Children Everywhere, a 120-year look back at what has made the hospital what it is today. Tom, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here today.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Glad to be here.
You know, this was, I've been following you as we've been, you know, or you've been working on this book for the last several years. What was the impetus for the creation of For All Children Everywhere?
Well, first of all, there's so much we can learn from history. There's that old saying that if you don't remember the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Repeat it, yeah.
And one of the things that I've come to realize is that if we remember the past at Children's Mercy, we'll be lucky to repeat what has happened. So it's a great story to tell, and we realized that if we didn't tell it now, if we didn't set out to start telling it now, we were going to lose the ability because there hasn't been a history of the hospital written since 1960, wow. And a lot has happened since 1960.
Well, so you obviously, you know, have interviewed a number of people and have learned some amazing things. What are some of the more interesting stories you've learned along the way?
Oh, well, you know, I think one of the most interesting ones was the fact that until the mid-1950s, Children's Mercy was only for poor children. Mm-hmm. So if a child's family had money, they could not come to Children's Mercy. We would send them to another hospital.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes. I joke that our CFO today, this would drive him crazy. But yes, it was started only to take care of poor children. And then during that period of the 1950s, you know, we've got the baby boom after World War II that has taken off. And so the big question came up, what are we going to do with all these kids and who's going to take care of them? And there was a belief among the business community, among the medical community in town, that Children's Mercy should become this pediatric medical center for all the kids in Kansas City. And so that's what began this incredible transition from being the little charity hospital to what it is today.
Well, and that had to significantly impact the culture of the organization. And as I've come to know the hospital over the years, I mean, the culture has continued to evolve. So when the baby boom hit, which is really what mm-hmm. we're talking about,
right.
Talk about how that changed the culture of the organization. What did you see when you went back and looked at the history in the archive?
Well, one of the things that had to happen was the hospital had to become more professional, for lack of a better word. We needed a real top-notch education program. We needed to really up the game in medical research that we were doing, because it's those sorts of things, along with excellent clinical care, the regular just going to the doctor sorts of visits. You need all three of those things to have a top-notch medical center. And so we started to hire medical staff for the first time. We didn't hire doctors until the 1950s.
Wow.
It was all a volunteer medical staff. So it became more professional. We became more deliberate in what we were trying to do. But the one thing that didn't change from the very beginning, two things didn't change. One is it's always been kids first. What can we do for the kids? That we learned from our founding sisters in the very beginning. And the other thing was a culture of innovation. The sisters were always looking for new, better ways to take care of children. And that was something that we amped up in the 1950s and then kept amping up in the 60s and 70s, and now we're still doing that. But that innovation, that always trying to do what's best.
How do you see the culture coming to life? I mean, it has to be manifesting in a whole number of ways. And I we've talked a little bit about innovation, but talk a little bit more about how the culture comes to life at Mercy.
Well, one of the things is our involvement with the community. The way beyond the walls of Children's Mercy is where we see taking care of children. About a year ago, we pulled together down at the Kauffman Center representatives from 200 different community agencies for the first time to talk about how do we take care of the children of this community. So it's not just Children's Mercy. There's all sorts of organizations that help in that. And so that's one of the other things that we learned from the very beginning, that it's this community's responsibility, and Children's Mercy is this community's hospital.
How many? I know that not every community every large community has a children's hospital, but what's the distance between Kansas City's Children's Mercy and the next nearest children's hospital?
So there are actually two children's hospitals in St. Louis. There's one in Denver. There's a small one in Des Moines, one in Omaha, one in Little Rock. So quite a distance. And so we see patients primarily. I mean, we see patients from all 50 states, but primarily we see patients from the entire state of Kansas and the western half of the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shift gears on you for a little bit, because part of putting this book together and becoming the archivist for Mercy, how many years have you been now the archivist, by the way, for Mercy?
Almost three.
Okay.
And there was never one before me.
Right. So, and I know that you found documents in the oddest places that, mm-hmm. that helped you tell the history of that. Share a little bit about some of the things you found.
Well, yeah, we found all sorts of things. Like I said, there were actually two previous histories that were written, which was very helpful in laying some of the backstory. The Kansas City Star and newspapers.com was a fabulous resource, particularly in the old days. My book editor, Monroe Dodd, knew how to search census records and was able to find great stories. Ancestry.com, which our philanthropy department has access to, they were able to find stories. I'd come across a name and I'd say, who is this? How are they connected to the hospital? And then the best source was, for the last 60 years of history, was talking to people. Mm-hmm. And I had the great pleasure and honor of sitting down with some of our former doctors and administrators and volunteers and people who lived this story firsthand, like I said.
Who watched the evolution.
Who watched the evolution happen.
So with all those stories collected and now, you know, memorialized, what's next? I mean, you've talked a little bit about, do you do a podcast? How would that work? How do you take this to the next level?
Right. Well, one of the things that was difficult in putting the book together was there's so much to tell, and so that whole editing process, and so I've had to think. But so what got left out? What are some big pieces of the story, if you will, that didn't make it into the book and that deserve to be told? And so those are the things that we're looking at now. That what is the next step? What's sort of the evolution of the book? Where do we take what we've learned so far and turn it into something else, something better?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to be talking about a podcast in the middle of a podcast. But what, as you've been thinking about this, what are the issues that you've, you know, considered as, you know, as you frame up the need or the idea of doing a podcast? So from a marketing perspective, the people that are going to be listening to this are going to be like, all right, well, we've thought about doing a podcast. What are the
right
points of view that you've considered?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you need to have a good story, and we've got a good story to tell. So that's the beginning. And you need good storytellers. And when I think about that audience, which you also have to identify who's the audience, just like
right.
in anything
right.
we do in marketing, we have to know who we're talking to. But who doesn't like to have a story read to them? I mean, it's
good
just
point.
It,
right.
And so if we can get the right people on the podcast who know how to weave stories, and we know we've got the good content, I think we can engage people in a whole different level, and maybe we point them to a book, or maybe, but the podcast just becomes one piece of the communication strategy.
Right. So tell me some of the stories that you think would be good that you unearthed, or that you have, you know, the hospital is actively engaged in, mm-hmm. that you think would be good for the podcast.
Well, I think one of the things that gets overlooked when you talk about medicine is the whole, what we call, psychosocial piece of medicine. So it's the pieces that happen outside the doctor's office. And those are the stories that make an incredible impact on people. And I tell a couple of them briefly in the book itself, of where people wonder, so what good is it to have celebrities come to the hospital? We have that happen all the time. We get news stories from the big slick people to, you know, baseball players and whatnot. And the impact that has on kids and parents, for that matter, to distract them a little bit, mm-hmm. those are the sorts of things that help them get better faster. And we're beginning to get some good research around that and how this truly impacts children. And those are the kind of stories that we need to tell so people understand, why is it that children's hospitals do what children's hospitals do, and why are we different than the adult hospitals?
Right. And there are a host of stakeholders that would care about all of these stories.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm from the donors in the community, which we rely on, we have from the very beginning, and we still rely on them very deeply. People want to know, so what are you spending my money for?
Right.
To the policymakers who are trying to figure out, how do we afford health care in this country, and at what level do we afford it? We need to be able to let people know why we do the things we do at the Children's Hospital.
So how would this integrate with all the other things you're doing from a communications perspective? You've been in communications at Mercy and other hospitals, and then back to Mercy for your entire career. So how does this integrate?
Well, it's another piece of the puzzle, and we do a pretty good job. The last probably year or two at Children's Mercy, our communications team, every Monday morning we stand up in front of a whiteboard and we just start throwing ideas out of what everybody is working on. And if somebody over in internal communications is working on a story and I think, well, that might work for my blog because it's got this historic angle, or the media team hears about this and it's not something that they had. So the podcast just becomes another piece of that. When I can tell them I've interviewed Sam, for instance, and Sam's got this great story to tell that I want to be able to use for my purposes, who knows, do the consumer marketing people also think, oh my gosh, we knew people need to hear that too? Or is it a story that we need to let some of our physician partners know as well?
Right. And part of it, I think, also comes down, Tom, to how do people want to engage with the content?
Right.
You know, I mean, a blog is great, but if you don't have time to read, or you know, it's sitting there. But with a podcast, it's something you can plug into your phone, listen to on your drive to work.
Right. The podcast is much more portable. Right. Some people like video, and we've recorded a number of oral histories in the last 2.5 years that we've edited down. And they're nice if you want to sit and watch somebody tell a story of their time. You know, I just discovered on the TED Talks website, if you don't want to watch the video, you can download the transcript and you can read it.
And
I'd much rather read it than watch it. But that's me. And so the podcast is another piece of, for people who want to listen to it. And as you said, very portable.
Mm-hmm. So what challenges do you think you're going to run into as you know, push this idea forward from a business perspective, from an approval perspective? It's new, it's different, perhaps it's, for your category.
Right. It's new, it's different. That's always a challenge. There's the big question of time. Who's got time to do this stuff? Who's got money to do this stuff? Those are the things. But then I think that the bigger challenge that I foresee is the, how do I refine this so it makes more sense? That it's not too broad.
Keep it focused,
right? There's just so many stories, and of course, I uncovered so many things, and my mind gets going, and boy, do I want to tell these stories. But I need to keep that audience in mind and be strategic and smart about it.
Well, it's entirely possible you could end up with more than one podcast.
Oh, absolutely, sure, and that's a possibility. When I think about, gosh, what do I do when I get several of them under my belt, well, then I do several more.
Right.
Is the answer. If we can make sure that the right people are listening to it.
If it's being delivered.
Right.
So how do you see these aligning with the archival work that you've done? You know, it's certainly, you know, the past informs the future.
Right.
But talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think part of what I want to concentrate on, and it ties in directly to the archival work, is that evolution of care that we provide. We don't provide care the same way that we did 100 years ago, 120 years ago when the hospital started. But there are certain themes that we learned and lessons that we learned from that time that we apply today, and we get smarter about it. And someday people are going to look back on today, and today will be history. And I can tell you that as I was doing research, I would come across some old VHS tapes, which, of course, then I had to have digitized so I could watch them. But it was fascinating these were tapes of, like, the first hospital administrator that we hired in the 1950s. And it's like, I'd read this person's name before, and I'd even read some letters that he'd written, but to actually watch this person and listen to them tell a story, it was like I had struck gold.
How are you going to measure success? When you have 50 podcasts under your belt and you look at this, what are the metrics you're going to say, this is what we've accomplished and this is why it was valuable?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, we can look at, you know, you look at just the basic metrics of how many people listened to this thing, and did we reach 2,000 people with a podcast that would not have heard this story before? But I also think that I hope to use these podcasts as research for either the next book or the next white paper or something like that. And at the end of 50 of these, I should have a pretty good basis for the next writing project.
Yeah, I would think so. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Absolutely. You know, my pleasure.
You and I have talked about this project for a number of years, and it's been fun to watch it come together and to see the book come to life, which is available on Amazon if you want to go out and check it out. Any last thoughts before we close?
No, I appreciate being on, and I think you're one of those who taught me all along that content is king. And so we talked about that many, many years ago. And so when I think about a podcast, or I think about the book, or I think about whatever the communications channel is you got to have good stories to tell. And pretty much we all have good stories.
Yeah, we just got to ferret them out.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
That's our show for today. Many thanks to our guest, Tom McCormally, Director of Archives at Children's Mercy Hospital and Clinics. Join us next time for another edition of Modern Marketeers.